Good morning, and today is a wonderful day. As that video pointed out to us today, that victory is found in Jesus Christ. We know that, we worship Him, and we're so grateful for all that He has done for us. The Bible tells us that God Himself came to this earth, that He became one of us, that He walked on this earth and never rebelled against God, His Father. There they placed Him on a cross for our sins. There He died on that cross because of our sins. But then they placed Him in a grave, but He rose from the dead to the living, and we celebrate that today, the victory, the triumph that is found in Jesus Christ. This week, someone sent me something. It's a little lengthy, but I want to read it to you because I believe it's very appropriate. It speaks to the time where we are right now and how we can celebrate in the midst of all that is going on, the life of Jesus Christ. It says it was 'twas late in 19 when the virus began, bringing chaos and fear to all people, each land. People were sick, hospitals full, doctors overwhelmed, no one in school. As winter gave way to the promise of spring, the virus raged on, touching peasant and king. People hid in their homes from the enemy unseen. They YouTubed and Zoomed, social distanced and cleaned. April approached and churches were closed. There won't be an Easter, the world supposed. There won't be church services and egg hunts are out. No reason for new dresses when we can't go about. Holy Week started as bleak as the rest. The world was focused on masks and on tests. Easter can't happen this year, it proclaimed. Online and at home, it just won't be the same. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, the days came and went. The virus pressed on, it just would not relent. The world woke up on Sunday and nothing had changed. The virus still menaced, the people estranged. Pooh-pooh to the saints, the world was grumbling. They're finding out now that no Easter is coming. They're just waking up. We know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. And then all the saints will all cry boo-hoo. That noise, said the world, will be something to hear. So it paused and the world put a hand to its ear. And it did hear a sound coming through all the skies. It started down low, then it started to rise. But the sound wasn't depressed. Why? The sound was triumphant. It couldn't be so, but it grew with abundance. The world stared around, popping its eyes. Then it shook. What it saw was a shocking surprise. Every saint in every nation, the tall and the small, was celebrating Jesus in spite of it all. It couldn't stop Easter from coming. It came, somehow or other, it came just the same. And the world with its life quite stuck in quarantine stood puzzling and puzzling, just how can it be? It came without bonnets, it came without bunnies. It came without egg hunts, cantatas, or money. Then the world thought of something it hadn't before. Maybe Easter, it thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Easter perhaps means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, the story's not done. What will you do? Will you share with that one or two or more people needing hope in this night? Will you share the source of your life in this fight? The churches are empty, but so is the tomb. And Jesus is victor over death, doom, and gloom. So this year at Easter, let this be our prayer. As the virus still rages all around everywhere, may the world see hope where it looks at God's people. May the world see the church is not a building or steeple. May the world find faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. May the world find joy in a time of dejection. May 2020 be known as the year of survival, but not only that, let it start a revival. Praise the Lord for that. Today we have hope. In the midst of all that we go through, today we have hope. Jesus has risen from the dead to the living. And so if you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to go to Mark chapter 16. We're just going to go through that a little bit, looking at victory and triumph, the resurrection, victory and triumph. As we celebrate this day, there can be no true celebration without the fact of the resurrection. Today, we celebrate the resurrection. Friday, we gathered, took communion together. We were thankful to God that He came and He died for each and every one of us, that we could be forgiven of our sins. No small thing. Today, the Bible teaches us, the truth is, that we can be forgiven of all of our sin. It's an amazing truth, an amazing reality. As we celebrate this day, there can be no true celebration without the fact of the resurrection. Resurrection means a standing up, a coming back to life. Today is a day for standing up again. From unbelief to belief. Today you might be there in unbelief about this day. For some reason you're tuning in, and we're glad that you are. But today you may be in a place of unbelief. We would encourage you to come to that place of belief. How does one do that? Simply by acknowledging and understanding their need and understanding that you've sinned against a holy God. And then that need is that you need to be forgiven of that sin. And how does one do that? Just simply by faith. Coming with faith in belief to God and saying, God, I acknowledge. I ask that you forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. Lord, I just simply surrender. And at that point, by faith, we can come from unbelief to belief, from a hard-hearted state to being on fire for Jesus Christ. The truth of the resurrection says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. They couldn't hold Jesus. No stone was big enough. He came out that day just exactly as the scripture would say he would. The true story of the resurrection is the story of God's wonderful window of divine surprise. He surprised the world. The disciples, as we'll see here in a moment, weren't even looking for the resurrection. They had walked with him. They had spoken to him. They had seen all the miracles. They had heard him tell them over and over that in 3 days I will rise from the dead to the living, but yet they weren't looking for it. I pray today that we are looking for it. The return of Easter should be to the Christian's life the call of a trumpet, a call of a trumpet. It is the news of a great victory. It is the solution of a great perplexity. It is the assurance of a great triumph, the resurrection, victory, and triumph because of what God has done for you and I. The great resurrection truth is not that we are to live newly and with power after death, but that we are to be new here and now by the power of the resurrection. The resurrection, the victory, the triumph that is found in that for each and every one of us. It's an amazing thing what we believe today. We believe, again, as I mentioned earlier, that God himself came to this earth. Amazing that God would come, that we didn't have to do anything other than receive what he had done on our behalf. Look at verse 1 of Mark chapter 16. It says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Notice their love was great, but their faith was weak. Their planning showed that they did not expect Jesus to rise, but their love endured. And they are to be commended for that. But today we understand as we approach Jesus and we approach this special day of the resurrection that we come by faith, knowing that we know, we're not sure how we know, but the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that Jesus has risen from the dead to the living. In verse 2 it says, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. The sun had risen. The day was going to introduce the dawning of the most powerful truth that man will ever know, the truth of the resurrection. It is a truth that would revolutionize the thinking of all of mankind. Jesus would be seen by over 500 people before he would ascend into heaven. He left a witness of the truth of the reality of the resurrection. In verse 3, it says, and they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of this tomb for us? The stone at the door was just a pebble to the Rock of Ages who was inside. Herbert Booth said this, the greatest fact about Jesus' tomb was that it wasn't a tomb at all. It was just a place for a transient. He was only there for a while, fulfilling scripture, and then he rose from the dead to the living. Verse 4, it says, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. I love what Peter Marshall says about this, that the stone was rolled away. He says the stone was rolled away from the door, not to permit Christ to come out, but to enable the disciples to go in. I've been in that place, that garden in Israel. It's no doubt not the original tomb. It's not the exact tomb, But I remember going there. And I remember I couldn't wait to just experience the feeling of going in that tomb. And Vi and I walked into that tomb and we just stood there. And it says that he is not here. On the wall, they had placed a plaque that said that he is not here, he is risen. And how exciting that is, that we believe today that Jesus has risen from the dead to the living. Look at verses 5 and 6, please. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him." Three words that are powerful, that have changed the whole history of mankind. He is risen. Notice the emphasis. Is. He is risen. He has risen. The resurrection has taken place. Listen to for a moment just some of the scriptures that we have in the Bible that point to the truth of the resurrection. In Job, it says this, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job knew. He could see. The Holy Spirit had spoken to him about the truth of the resurrection. David said in Psalm 49, verse 15, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah." Today, do we have the same confidence that David had, that to be absent from this body, we will be present with the Lord? That today, death cannot hold us. There's no victory there, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, that victory has been given to us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isaiah said this concerning the resurrection, "Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." The dead. The earth can't even hold the dead. The grave is not a place that we stay. Our bodies go and decay there, but our spirit goes on to be with the Lord. Daniel knew the truth of the resurrection. He said this, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." I can't wait. I don't know about you guys. I imagine it's the same. Can't wait until the return of Jesus Christ. I am a pre-tribulation rapture person, and I believe that the Lord is coming, and he's ready to come at any time. But when that happens, it's going to be an amazing thing, and the world will look and see it is true. It is true. And I pray that while we have opportunity here on earth, that we will tell anyone we can about the truth of the resurrection. Listen to the words of Jesus. You're familiar with these out of the Gospel of John. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." But then he says, "Do you believe this?" So often at funeral services, I use this scripture because it says, "Do you believe this?" Today, do you believe this? If you believe it, say amen right where you are. Don't be afraid in your family. Just say amen at the top of your lungs. Amen, I believe the truth. And finally, Paul made two statements concerning the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, he says, "And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, he said, "Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to the glorious body, to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." All things will come unto himself. It says in Scripture, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And so let's be one of those that confess truly today. You may live in a Christian family. You may be sitting there and you're hiding out. You got the form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. And you're not who you truly say that you are. Today would be the day. Today, the need is great in your heart, simply to come. You claim that you're a Christian, but in reality, you've not surrendered your life to Him. And maybe you need to surrender as a Christian your life wholeheartedly today. Today would be a wonderful day to do that. In verse 7, it goes on, Mark goes on, and he says, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. That's a powerful, powerful verse. There the mission is given to you and I. Go and tell. This is what we must do. Go and tell everyone that we can, that indeed he is risen. If we are on fire for Jesus, nothing should be able to keep us from shouting from the rooftops that Jesus has risen from the dead, that Jesus has risen from the dead. There should be nothing that holds us back, nothing at all. When I got up this morning, there was a text there waiting for me from Bonnie Jones, and I was blessed in an abundant way, and it just simply said, he is risen, and he is risen, and I thank the Lord for that message. He is risen. Go and tell whoever you can about the goodness. In verse 8, it says, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. May we not be afraid. May we go out quickly. May we go out to the highways and the byways. May we go today and shout it from the rooftops. Maybe we can't get any closer than 6 feet. Maybe whatever it is, but yet we can still tell people about Jesus Christ because they're looking for him. They're hungry for them. The world is confused. Don't miss the opportunity that God has given us. Today, Jesus has risen from the dead to the living. Let's just read verses 9 through 14 as we're wrapping up the message this morning. It says, after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. You see the unbelief that is found in verse 11 and also in verse 13. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. They did not believe. Why did they not believe? It says right there, because of the hardness of their heart. It's a very terrible thing, the hardness of a person's heart. It perverted the nation of Israel from going in, or prevented the nation of Israel from going in to the promised land. And it can unfortunately do the same for us. Unbelief can keep us from going to heaven. But today we are to believe. In these wonderful verses, look at verses 15 through 19. It says, go into all the world. There's the commission that we have. And preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. What does that tell us? That we can go and tell the world that there's victory. There's triumph in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then verse 19, it says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus today is sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus, I believe, is anxious to come back very soon. And I know, I believe personally that the door is cracked open. The door is getting wider and wider, and Jesus is ready to come back and to take all of his people to be with him. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Christians, this truly is our call to arms. Our call to arms. Go and preach about the truth of the resurrection. They went out and preached the word. And we must go anywhere and everywhere and take the truths of the Bible to a needy world. As a young man, and I love this quote, I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it again. As a young man, D.L. Moody was called upon suddenly to preach a funeral sermon. He hunted all through the four Gospels trying to find one of Christ's funeral sermons. But he searched in vain. He found that Christ broke up every funeral he ever attended. Death could not exist where he was. When the dead heard his voice, they sprang to life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's very important that we would embrace the resurrection. I thought of five meanings of the resurrection that is true for you and I that are truly born again. First of all, it tells us that we have a new inward power. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him, Jesus, or the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We have a new inward power because of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Today, we have a Christ-likeness. In Corinthians, it says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. We are Christ-like. We are Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ today. And no world, no plague, no virus can defeat us in any way whatsoever because we serve Him. Today, because of the resurrection, we have devotion to a new master. In Scripture, it says, and He died for all. Jesus died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. That's who we live for today. We live for Jesus Christ. And whatever He would say for us to do, wherever He would send us today, I pray that that would be what our life would be. We would stand with Him for Him forever and ever. And today, because of the resurrection, we have a heavenly ambition. Paul said in Colossians, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. It's so easy during this time right now. Today it's different. It really is. I would love to be with everybody. Everybody dressed up in their suits, everybody dressed up, all the kids dressed up, everybody running around and all that. Golly, what a privilege we had. But we'll get back to that. We truly will. But today we are victorious in Jesus Christ. Today He has done all that He could ever do for you and I that we could be free. We have been raised to heavenly places as we trust with Him. Even when we were dead in trespasses, it says in Ephesians, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have all these things because today there is a resurrection, and we trust in that. Indeed, as followers of Christ, we have been extremely blessed. As someone has said, we should be the happiest people on the earth. Today, I know there's challenges. Today, we're praying for those that have the virus. Today, there are sad things, no doubt, that we have experienced. But today, a special day today, we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He came to this world, that He died for you and I, and that He rose from the dead to the living. It says in Corinthians, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Today we have the victory through Jesus Christ. So go wherever we can, celebrating today as families. Today, praying for those that may not know the Lord and trusting in faith that they will come to an understanding of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I can hear you guys there out in the gymnasium saying that, to have everlasting life. We will live forever and ever and ever. We will get through this time. God will be victorious. He is victorious in our lives. And today is a day that we celebrate the truth. For God came. God lived on this earth. He died on the cross for you and I. They placed His body in a grave, but His body couldn't be held by that grave. He rose from the dead to the living. And because of that, you and I will live forever and ever and ever with Him in heaven. And simply by faith, we believe that today. What an amazing God we serve. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. May you lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Stay strong. Stay together. Stay in faith. Don't allow unbelief to come even the smallest into your heart. Stand strong in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We take just a moment to celebrate that, to be reminded of a truth that we know. But Lord, there may be some here today that need to experience it in a personal and special way. Lord, might you just touch them by your Spirit. May you touch them in such a way that right where they are, wherever they are in this world, they'd simply say a prayer and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I pray, Jesus, that you come into my heart and become my Savior, the Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. I receive you. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you guys. Amen.